Yes, Speaker. Steve Frost, British Movement. I don't think you need any introduction at all. We all know BM.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Well,
20 minutes.
It's all right, we're just haggling over the amount of time I've got. We find ourselves,
hey? We're at the 11th hour.
We're at the 11th hour, very fitting. A little humour there from Dr. Jim. We are in a strange situation today, as far as the United Kingdom's concerned. Because everything that John Tyndall predicted would happen appears to be coming on stream. Earlier this year, I was given a book called Brit-ish. It's written by a very left-wing Guardianista writer, reporter and broadcaster called Afua Hirsch. As you can guess from her name, she is not exactly of Anglo-Saxon heritage. In fact, on her mother's side, she's Ghanaian. On her father's side, her father's people were Jewish German refugees. So she considers herself to be the epitome of multicultural Britain. And she writes from a very, 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 very left-wing multiculturalist perspective. And it came no surprise to me when I read the book to find out that she had, in fact, studied at Oxbridge and had, of course, like many others of her ilk, studied politics, economics and philosophy.
Oxford.
Yes, at Oxford. And of course, that just geared her up nicely for a professional career, and it will come as no surprise to you in this room that the first job she had when she graduated was for the George Soros Foundation.
Yeah, cool.
And she went to work in Africa, where she was focused on projects which advanced the education and other possibilities for the people that she found there. And it is a book that made me extremely angry. The more I read of it, the more I wanted to. In fact, my wife had to stop me throwing it out the window a few times. It is an extremely, from a nationalist perspective, annoying book. Because all it does is berate the white British for all the things that we have done, have not done, and what the left imagines we have done. I find it quite offensive that these people settle here and then proceed to tell us how wrong we are, how we should be doing things, and how we should accept them and their ilk without reservation because they say so. So look out for it, British. Don't buy it, for goodness sake.
Steal it. Make sure you don't get caught.
But the content of the book sums up the cesspit that our major cities are becoming. Nothing, for me, is more saddening than to go down to London these days. I go very, very rarely. Last year, we took my two colleagues over there. We were in a car. We drove down to a British Movement event in South East London. And I thought we got lost. I thought, I didn't realise we'd cross the Channel and then cross the Straits of Gibraltar.
Yeah,
you know, is this central Nairobi? Have I missed something? Have I been asleep for 12 hours? Because it wasn't London.
No.
You looked out of the window and it just wasn't. And these are the things, back to my original point, that John Tyndall predicted it would be. And he was absolutely right. In fact, things are worse. I think some of the situations we now find in our big urban centres and cities are far, far worse than John Tyndall or Colin Jordan or others at the time, the pioneers of British nationalism post-war, could have imagined. And as was said by other speakers today, it hasn't stopped. The immigration is going on and on and on, and the surplus populations of the third world are coming in and coming in and coming in. So what can we do? What can we do? Well, we look at the situation as it faces us, and I've said this before, some people in this room will have heard me say it before, but there is a quote here from one of our jailed colleagues, Jez Bedford Turner. He said, opportunity is the driving force of destiny. And I think that is absolutely true. Yes, the forces of British nationalism have been pushed back. But we are presented with another opportunity, a new opportunity, a fresh opportunity. What we don't do is we don't repeat the mistakes of the past. We look forward and find new ways to counter the situation that we find ourselves in. Because things are shifting constantly. And our people, are under pressure. Under terrible pressure from those who would impose a multicultural society on our country. And the fact is, our people don't like it. The left know that. The neoliberals know that. And so they start to panic. They look across to continental Europe, and suddenly what they describe as populist, nationalist organisations are popping up all over the place and are staging demonstrations, are getting elected, are putting pressure on so that they feel that multiculturalism is under threat. And I think that we have to increase that pressure. Now, I'm not for one moment suggesting that we all come together as one great big globular nationalist body and try to do it in one way. I think the way forward is for each and every organisation, whichever faction of nationalism it represents, to increase the pressure from their position, to get the propaganda out there, to influence people, to agitate at every possible level, so that our people know that there is a voice out there that is challenging this mess. And I think we have to listen to the left as to what they are afraid of. Colin Jordan always said to me, look at their publications, read their papers, find out what they're thinking, and then you know which buttons to press. And earlier this year, I looked at a publication that had just come out. I hate to say this, but I'm going to have to mention the insidious Soros-funded organisation that produced it. The document was called, it wasn't a single document, it was more like a book, very expensively produced and online as well, State of Hate 2018. So you can guess which particular bunch of misfits produced this. But this publication, and I've taken just one page out of it, was aimed at a left-wing readership, at left-wing organisations. And it was saying to them, this is where we are, and this is the threat that we face. Now, they class all of us as far right. Something I disagree with, that particular label, but there you go. But this is what they had to say. This is what they are frightened of. And these quotes, I think, sum it up and give us some guidance as to how we should be operating. They're looking at the fact that there are lots of different populists, civic nationalists, racial nationalists, national socialists, all kind of organisations functioning. This many-headed hydra approach makes it harder to combat in a traditional sense, as it cannot be decapitated like a political party or traditional far-right organisation. If one prominent activist or leader falls from grace, it is no longer a fatal hammer blow. The tangible existence of a party of voters to the far right of the centre scares the mainstream more than a collection of anonymous online activists. However, society does not necessarily have to change with seismic jolts, but rather can be shaped slowly and in tiny increments as political agendas are radicalised. And this is the warning they give to their Marxist comrades We would be foolish to be complacent. Despite facing what appears, in terms of the traditional far right, to be a fractured and splintered movement. If we wait for a period of far right unity so that we can once again mobilise en masse against the enemy, we risk society being changed by thousands of people gnawing away at it and propagating the whole package of far right ideas in the meantime. Out of the horse's mouth. They are terrified of the amount of influence that we can have because they have seen it in continental Europe. They see what's going on. And when the propaganda gets out there, when people's opinions are changed, where does the left turn to? Where do they have their pickets? Where do they mobilise against? Because it pops up here, it pops up there, it's on the computer. They can't counter it. And they start to panic. Because they know that the people will listen to what we have to say because it is true. They are afraid because people react. Because people look out of their window and see their streets are changing. See their neighbourhoods are changing. They look at the headlines. My hometown, Huddersfield, in the last 3 weeks. Grooming gang trial. 20 men jailed for appalling crimes. Just this week, they've sneaked it in under the radar. Another half dozen in Rotherham. Grooming gangs. And I was amazed to see a former Northwest prosecutor for the CPS, who is Asian, appear on the BBC Look North Network, and he admitted, we have to do something about this. And as an Asian, he said, I am confronted by members of the British Pakistani community who say, stop saying it's British Pakistanis. Now, how you come to be a British Pakistani, I'm not entirely sure. But he admits, the people from his own community tell him, stop saying it. Stop telling the truth, in other words. Don't give the game away. Because alien cultures are impacting on us and the ordinary white people can identify with that. They can see that. So when we argue and put propaganda out saying this is the impact they are having on us, they say, it's bloody right. Absolutely right. But word of warning for us, let us not get carried away too much. There are rumblings from the usual quarters. Over there in Brussels, the great unelected and their MEP cohorts. They have been voting to push through new legislation. On the quiet, you won't see much of it in the British media, they're keeping very quiet about this. But left-wing MPs from across Europe, MEPs, are pushing for new legislation. And the new legislation, in their words, will outlaw neo-fascist and neo-Nazi organisations. Europe-wide. Now, you can be sure that what they define as neo-fascist or neo-Nazi organisations isn't what we would describe as. You can imagine the sorts of people who will be putting together the definitions for Europe-wide law enforcement. I dare say everybody in this room would be on an arrest list automatically. Yeah. And after all, it suits the left because you don't have to counter an argument if you can just lock up your opponents. Just label them as criminals. George Orwell, I can hear you tiptoeing there. Thought crime. And you can imagine that those who are going to be active in this country, should it leach in, if Brexit does take place, if they don't torpedo it, we might get away with it before this is brought in. But you can imagine the people who would be enacting the legislation here and putting the definitions together as to what constitutes these far-right criminal organisations for daring to speak out against immigration. We only have to look at the current situation where they're talking about the threat of far-right terrorism. An absolute fantasy. Compared with the Islamists, they're trying to equate British racial nationalists with the Islamists. Just last week it was said that MI5 are going to be taking a greater role in countering the threat from the far right. What utter drivel. What contrived headlines. But your Guardian reading left-wing tofu munchers there in the N25 corridor will say, oh, thank God for that. All those populists popping up all over Europe. We've got hordes of football crews marching down the streets, chanting Tommy Robinson's name. Something needs to be done. And at last the threat from the far right can be seen. They are manufacturing and whipping up hysteria. And it's strange, isn't it, that this should be happening in this country at the same time that MEPs in Europe are talking about new legislation to counter neo-fascists and neo-Nazis and the threat that they pose. Of course, what they've got in mind are the likes of the AFD and the Front National and Forza Italia. And they all hate Viktor Orban. They'd like to ban it all. They want to put pressure on Poland and Hungary to act, to undermine the legally elected governments of those countries. They want to torpedo what's happening in Italy because it's running counter to the globalist argument for shipping in the Africans. So we have to beware. And you can imagine what will go on in this country if this gains any traction. Suddenly, certain left-wing organisations closely tied to the Labour Party and heavily financed by that American Hungarian philanthropist internationalist Mr. George Soros will suddenly have masses of more funds to stage even more Joe Cox memorial picnics and similar things. We'll be absolutely drowning in left-wing propaganda. And at the same time, you can imagine if anybody stands on a street corner and holds up a Union Jack, far-right terrorist. Absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. But I read last week that when all this was spouting off about MI5 taking a new heart, it was very good stuff, wasn't it? Hey, it was straight out of the old black propaganda book there, wartime stuff. We are going to stand firm against these far-right terrorists. Oh, yes, I bet you are. All those secret arms caches we've been hiding. Andrew, you're going to have to empty your garden shed. All that stuff you've had, 20, 30 years or whatever it is you've been doing. Yes, you can just imagine, can't you, in some corner of Westminster, they're dusting off 18B defence regulation. Oh, yes, it worked before. Let's just update this. Get it scanned in. You can feel that going on, can't you? That whole sense of black propaganda. And of course, one of the articles, who did they interview to comment on this rising threat of far-right terrorism? Well, the police commander responsible for countering terrorism with SO15. Neil Basu. Oh, now then, would you believe it? They're putting a gentleman with that heritage in charge of countering the far right. I don't think he'll be too lenient given his ethnic origins, do you?
No, certainly not.
And one of the other articles I noted showed somebody from the Home Office or connected to the Home Office who was addressing a meeting about countering the far right and needing to put new stimulus into the Prevent programme. I can't remember the name. It was a woman, but she seemed to have a very heavy suntan. And her name was certainly not Anglo-Saxon. So I think we can expect a bit of prejudice against our politics from these quarters, because you can imagine exactly the sort of people who are going to be put in charge of it. That is the threat that faces us. But and it's a big but, I return to what Jez Bedford Turner said. Opportunity is the driving force of destiny. They are making these moves, they are taking these measures, or hoping to take these measures, because they are afraid. And as I said when I read it out, from the horse's mouth, society being changed by thousands of people gnawing away at it. That is us. No longer do we need to be giants striding through. We need to be termites tunnelling in, eating away, and bringing that rotten edifice, their entire structure of multiculturalism, crashing down. Thank you very much.
Alternative to the anti-white system on RadioArea.com.